and welcome to the We Are Birmingham podcast. I'm Chris Golding.
I'm Matthew Elliott.
And as ever, we are joined by the vegan. Evening, Dave.
Evening, you right?
Good, thank you. So I'm back, I'm sober-ish, just sobered up.
I'm surprised, yeah. Just sobered up.
Yeah, do you know what? There's no Zambonis here. We've got to do a monthly episode where we just meet up and get pissed, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
A few people...
potentially try and do that, yeah.
A few people have said that was one of their favourite ones just because it was just a bit bonkers.
Anybody comment on the foreign language intro?
No. In fact, do you know what, though? I have got a picture here. I don't know if you can see this down the camera, but... Me and Bugra.
We can see it, Bugra.
But, I think. Yeah, I know nobody people, else people can. At home won't be able to. I'll post it on Twitter. I had to get a picture with him before I left.
And this is the guy who very kindly gave us the intro for the last episode.
In Turkish.
Is it true that he's listened to every episode we've done since?
Yeah, and he's actually translated them all to Turkish for us as well.
But it is for the Turkish Birmingham City Supporters Club.
Yeah, officially.
Excellent.
Because they're all official now, which we'll come on to. How are you boys anyway?
Tired. Just constantly tired. It's been an exhausting few weeks of lots of travel and I just haven't stopped. And I like to, saying to Dave earlier, I like to wind down at this point of the year and it's not happening. I say wind down from work. Because obviously the wind down at home never happens.
I was going to say not the home life wind down.
Though that's kind of like, it kind of transfers across then, so I can put all my efforts into that. But no, I'll be honest, I'm ready for the Christmas break or just time to chill. But I'm creaky chair again, currently struggling with a few injuries, but... Other than that, I'm surviving.
Sure, that was the vegan. Chair and not your knee.
That's what it feels like. My leg and back feel like that noise is coming from the chair. So imagine it's coming from me.
Trapped nerve for anyone who isn't keeping up.
Yes, I've got a trapped nerve, which is causing all sorts of horrible pain down my left leg. Like, nasty. Anyway.
Third time. How's the vegan?
Good. A bit like Matthew in kind of this. I think there's this myth that things get quieter in the run up to Christmas, and I don't know where that lie came from because it's just stupidly busy. And
someone's responsible for that lie.
Yeah.
Probably Boris Johnson or a Tory or something like that.
Let's not get too political, eh?
And sitting, sitting in football grounds, freezing to death at weekends. You know, seeming more and more of a bad idea.
So safe standing was a great idea because when it gets cold, you're not sat down. You don't stretch your jeans over your knees so your knees don't get icy cold. So then when you walk out of the ground, you can walk normal-ish.
Be nice if we actually had some people down there to take up that opportunity, wouldn't it?
Which I did mention at the open house thing that the... safe standing, I assume that you mean in general we need bodies at the stadium, but I actually said that hopefully the safe standing can improve in the attendees, but
I think the football would help to a good football might help to improve the attendees along with some more attractive pricing. Which, again, we'll probably get onto later on, but...
Yeah.
Wondered where you were going with that for a second, with the more attractive and said pricing.
Some more attractive people attract people into the stadium as well.
It all helps, doesn't it? Yeah, world-class turnstile operators, I don't know. But
Speaking of turnstile operators, actually, at the game on Saturday, I got there at just before half-time, like 45. Fifth minute or something, I got into the ground.
Why you bothered, really?
Hindsight is a wonderful thing. I definitely missed the best part of the game.
You got there probably about the same time Dave decided to go home.
put it this way, I walked into a lot of people were probably decided to go home at that time. I walked into the ground, looked at the clock. I was like, right, beer then. Yeah, I was busy in the morning, so I got there as quickly as I could. But this is the bit that I just want to mention. Got to the turnstiles outside the Tilton, all boarded up, all closed. Like, right, there's a gate there, and I can just about see a hi-vis through the advertising thing that they've got over it, mesh. So I went over to the lad that was there. I was like, mate, I've just turned up, just got here, just managed to get here. Can you scan me in? No. What? No. Are you joking? He was like, no. The late turnstiles might be open in the cop. I was like, are you for fucking real? So headed down to the cop. All of the turnstiles closed. Even the late turnstiles that they referred to were closed. So people were just about to try and come out for half time to go into the happy abode and stuff. And there was a couple of stewards-ish there. I don't know whether they were stewards or organisers, whatever.
And these itself, it wasn't enough of a omen to...
asked them, like, how do I get in? All the turnstiles are shut. The woman that was there walked me down and she went, oh yeah, the turnstiles are shut. I was like, yes, I know, I just told you that. She had a word with this bloke, and this bloke, he can't really get in. So I've got there as quickly as I could. I've got a valid ticket, and I couldn't get into the ground. Luckily, someone let me in, saw my season ticket card and let me in. But it's like, how baffling that there could be people that are working in town or whatever, and that they get there as quickly as possible, and there's no way to get into the ground with a valid ticket. After like 44 minutes or something, I think about 40 minutes I'd got there. But surely at any point that you get there, if you've got a valid ticket, you should be able to get into the game. It just, that for me is a bit bizarre. Yes. I don't know how often it would happen for people.
Well, there we go. Any listeners that have also been turned away from football grounds?
I used to make a habit of turning up late for games, but not that late, obviously, because I did normally get in.
On the subject of games, do we want to just quickly skim over the last three games that we've played in this window since our last podcast before we talk about the open house stuff that you two attended? So do you want to go on to those games first? Then
we can do. I mean, what have we got? Sheffield Wednesday.
Which was a 2-1 win, but an awful performance.
Papering over the cracks.
I was at that one. It was nice to see my dad, and nice to go to the game. My dad had travelled up with Dave as well, because the trains were fucked that morning. So picked up Dave on the way. But yeah, that was an awful game. Nice to come away with 3 points, but we were not good against what was statistically the worst team in the league.
And then you say nice to come away from the game. It took you a while to come away from the game.
Dude, I was stuck in Birmingham for literally 2 hours. Normally when I'm up at the game, I will hope stay in somewhere in Birmingham, so I'd leave my car somewhere else and we could just mosey down to the stadium. And obviously that didn't happen this time. I was back in Northamptonshire, my dad picked him up and drove up and safe place to park, whatever. And yeah, not too far from the ground, but my word, the road we parked on, which the name is escaping me now, just stuck there on that road itself for over an hour. Then getting out of Birmingham for the rest, it was like another 45, 50 minutes before I'd even got anywhere near a motorway. It was absolutely mental. I could understand it if there was actually a big crowd, but it was pretty poor again, unsurprisingly. But yeah. Anyway.
More travel news next week.
Need a little sting for that.
Yeah.
The football wasn't great. I was in my hotel room in Turkey watching it.
Drunk?
And for the moment, no. Unfortunately, not. It was uninspiring for large parts. I think we certainly looked in the first half under pressure. And if it wasn't for the Bakuna goal, I think a half time would have been very interesting with the players leaving the pitch, because I think that probably got them off the hook with supporters at the time, as it does. It was a lovely strike, well taken goal, but it was very much against the run of play at the time. I think they must have just switched off for a moment.
Well, a friend of mine had a Sheffield Wednesday fan who was there, who before the game messaged me annoyed that he couldn't find a burger in Digbeth, and then after the game just said, played you off the park first half, but we're shit, you lot look in danger of sliding into trouble. But then redeemed himself by sending me a photo of some graffiti from around the ground that just said Tories equal scum. So there we go.
Never a truer word spoken. Anyway.
Anyway.
We're not about that. Yeah, it was a. We improved in the second half, but they were. We made them at times look like. I mean, they were actually. Their away kit looks a bit like Brazil. I wouldn't go that far, but they looked so much better than us. And I think in the end, we probably only won that game just because we've got better players, and they just managed to grind that result out. Same cannot be said for the following two games. Despite the fact that we actually played pretty well against Blackburn for probably half or maybe 30 minutes, that half, and created a few chances, albeit maybe not massively clear cut, but we certainly created chances. That second half was an absolute abomination. Like the defending, the goalkeeping, their protection from the midfield, or lack of, just the failure to track men, the concentration was just, that was one of the worst halves of football from a defending point of view that I've seen for a very long time from this side.
A lot of it just seemed to come or came to prevalence, shall we say, for them in 10 minutes. And it just absolutely, and it was typical that we'd had such a good half. People on Twitter were saying, well, we're actually look like we're starting to click, and everyone's starting to go, do you know what? Maybe there's something. We just come out, yeah, fuck that. what are we doing? We don't even know what we're doing.
The only bright spot to come from that, and this is the same for Rotherham, the Rotherham game as well, which followed and was arguably worse, despite the fact we came out of a point. Siriki Dembele looks like the same Dembele that we had earlier in the season. Now, I can only assume that either he understands what he needs to do in the current setup, or Rooney's just realised that actually we need to play him because he's probably our most creative player, or one of our most creative players, and he's a goal threat, and he'll create goals as well. Apart from him and Jordan James, the last few games, I'm really struggling to see any progress from any player. In fact, I'd say most of them have regressed, have gone backwards. I mean, I won't be harsh on Buchanan because he's only just come back and he looks okay. He's consistent.
I think first game back, he looked really good.
again. That was Sheffield Wednesday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So yeah, he was probably our best player that day, mm-hmm. actually. And again, I think we mentioned on a previous episode, Dembele looks a lot better when he's got Buchanan behind him as well.
Yep.
I think there's probably some correlation there between those. And so hopefully those two can keep going. And actually Dembele, he managed to keep it going. He was defending on Saturday as well, which was interesting because normally he's kind of see him as a bit of a luxury player, but he was actually closing down and trying to win that ball quite high up the pitch. So that's a good sign. My only concern is there that you see him doing too much and he starts blowing out of his arse and then becomes less effective when he's actually got the ball, which I think is a bit of an issue that Bakuna's having at the moment when he's playing alongside Bielik. Because Bielik is... Don't get me wrong. I think we've spoken about this before. Bielik is a very, very good footballer and he should be able to sit and protect the back four. He should be available to take that ball from them and he should be able to link play quite nicely. I'm not seeing that happen. I'm also not seeing him make... I don't want to say he's not... He doesn't seem to be closing down or trying to... What am I trying to say? He doesn't seem to be effectively helping out the defence from either a availability point of view to receive a pass or to protect them. I'm not seeing it. And I'm seeing Bakuna run yards and yards and yards more than he probably needs to because Bielik isn't covering the same amount of ground. And I've spoken to a couple of people that didn't agree with me at first, and then they watched him against, they watched it back, or they watched the following game and said, actually, you're probably right. I think it might have been the Blackburn one. That pairing isn't working, and I don't think, and people will point the finger at Bakuna because he gives the ball away a lot, and he's not the most disciplined of players. But actually, I think where his downfall is because he's covering more ground than he needs to. I've seen a lot of people saying Jordan James should be in there instead of Bakuna. I think Jordan James should be in there instead of Bielik. I don't know your thoughts, and I've realised I've been talking for about 3 minutes and not stopped, yep. So I'm going to stop.
So the last two games, obviously, I only saw the second half of the... Rotherham game, Blackburn. If you remember, I was messaging you guys and had a poorly baby for the first half of the Blackburn game. So I missed the good half of the Blackburn game as well. So basically, out of the last two games, I've missed all of the good football and I've just seen the shit. for me... I totally get what you're saying. I think with Bielik, it's potentially more about the system and what's being required.
Oh no, 100%. Yeah, I don't want to point the finger at him from a ability point of view, but it's got to be the system because he looked really good prior to the new way.
So my sort of thinking on it is. Now, does he know that he, injury-wise, has a limitation on how much he can put in?
Mm-hmm.
Knowing doesn't excuse the offering yourself for passes and whatever. That could be something.
That's a confidence thing to me. Because he is probably one of our most comfortable players on the ball. That's how I see him. And I'm not seeing someone that wants to take the ball.
Yeah, he doesn't look confident with the ball at the moment either.
No.
So that's a good shout. I don't know whether the off the ball stuff is potential hamstring of him knowing that he has a limitation in with regards to injuries, and there's only so much that he can put into his game. And it holds him back a little bit. I don't know whether that is the case or whether there's something more there. But mentally, obviously, with all the injuries that he's gone through, and it, I think we might have mentioned it before that sometimes he'll go down in games after an injury, and it's almost like, is it a, oh shit, do I need a minute here, or is there a serious problem? If you, because he goes down quite regularly, and sees the physio, and then he's like, right, no, I'm okay.
Yeah, I mean, and Rooney, he dug him out a little bit with that, didn't he, a few weeks back, if you remember. He said, oh, yep. I think it might have been around the Southampton game. We were going to bring so-and-so on. I think it might have been Ethan Laird or something like that. But then...
Was he not Ipswich?
It might have been Ipswich. I can't remember exactly. He says he was, one minute he was fit, one minute he wasn't fit. He was fit, then not fit, and then... We weren't sure what to do with substitutes, essentially, is what I think Rooney was trying to point out, but he seemed quite pissed off. The next game, Bielik didn't play. Actually, I think he might have been suspended, so that's probably why he didn't play. thinking about it, so if, apologies, I think I might have got that mixed up. But yeah, he did seem to have a bit of a dig at him around being fit, not fit. And you're right, he does go down an awful lot. And I've, be honest, I've been surprised by, even since... obviously him being here last season, like how
much he's played,
availability, how he's been available for so many games. I've been surprised, and actually, I mean, it's a good, and that's a good thing, and hopefully he's over the worst now. But I am not seeing the Bielik we signed, and it's a concern. I think having just the two in there is quite difficult, because certainly if you haven't got as much energy in there, you got a lot of ground to cover between the pair of you. That's going to be a problem with Bielik. And then just to go on to the Rotherham game, my God, I mean, that was the worst game of the season for me. I know we got a point from it, but football, the quality of football, we had a 5-minute spell at the start of that game, which you missed, Chris. And
thanks for reminding me.
We looked all right, and then we were kind of passable for a little while. Then Ethan Laird went off, and it all just went absolute pot. And relying on your right back to be your biggest threat or to make the team tick is kind of a worry. Obviously, don't know how long he's out for. He's got a groin injury, which you could tell he was very upset about at the time. In fact, I think he was almost reduced to tears at that point. But that the quality of football on display there was awful at the back, in midfield, going forward. There wasn't really anyone that looked interested. Tell a lie, Jordan James looked good when he came on, and Dembele was good, as I've mentioned. Fairly effective, but we were awful. That was an awful game of football. And you could see how bad Rotherham were from the very start. And then they could see there was a lack of confidence in the way we were trying to pass around at the back. And, you know, they tried to exploit that. And they're probably very unfortunate. They didn't come away with a 3 or 4-0 win.
I was going to say there were three easy chances that they squandered, and I think we'd all thought we're heading in.
Sam Nombe, who was Jay Stansfield's strike partner at Exeter, he missed all those chances. But Stansfield, I think, laid on about 15 goals for him or something when they played together previously. It was just so, we were so lucky to come out of a point with that.
I mean, talking of Bielik previously, I thought he was going to somehow, you know, get us 3 points towards the end. Was it the bar or the post he hit late on? And I really thought that was going to save what was a miserable, miserable 90 minutes.
Was there not it a save from the keeper?
I can't remember. It was either a save or a post, but that was the one redeeming thing, which I think I remember Bielik for from that game.
It was just not a good game of football. There's no cohesion. If there is a plan, I can't see it. And I know that we're going to touch on the tactics when we talk about the open house in a bit.
Yeah.
But I'm not seeing what the plan is. I'm really, really struggling with it. And I know I'm not the only one. and I desperately want this to work, but it's becoming really, really, really frustrating because there is no improvement in that team at all. There's no signs of progress. When we do have a 45 minutes or half an hour of good football or what looks like effective football, the next game or the next half, at most of the time, it's just two steps back again. There's no consistency there, and it's really frustrating. And then we've got Wayne Rooney's comments post game against Rotherham. Now,
don't read too much into them.
I think he's sat there and said that they need to grow a pair of balls, right? Which, in his view, that may be the case. I'll ask you guys a question, right? When a manager comes out with that, is that to provoke a reaction from the players to try and get them to just prove him wrong by questioning their manhood? Or
so for me, it was just a very ill thought out comment by an inexperienced manager, and he sat there in the room, in the press room after the game, with a few members of the press, and he's just disappointed that things aren't working out as he expects them to be. He said, we'll come on to it, the open house thing. These players can do it in training. They do it in training. They go out there.
They do on
a match day.
They do on a Saturday.
So they go out in training. They pass the ball around in tight spaces. They perform. It comes to a match day, they don't. I can imagine that is very frustrating, that you watch it and players struggle to string a few passes together, that their energy levels don't look as high as they do during training. He's made a massive mistake in, once again, we mentioned it earlier in, like, this, was it game 3 or 4 or something, that he slated the players. For me, you don't do that publicly. You take them aside and you're like, lads, fucking hell. Like, look, you're doing it here. If you're going to dig them out, you dig them out in person, in the dressing room or in training. You don't tell them that they're going to have a week off training and go and have a personal training
regime.
Yeah,
that's looking fucking good now, isn't it, as well, that week?
you say to them, right, we're in training. You're all in. You sort of put your foot down. You make yourself an authoritarian character. You say, lads, right, you're not having Sunday off. We're in. We're in on Sunday. It's not good enough. If you go and you take them, you almost bitch behind their back, which is what you're doing. You're being found out straight away because you bitch into the press. That's not going to get players on side.
I don't think it will either, and I'm not a big fan of it. I really, normally when a manager starts doing this, it only ends one way. And we spoke about this before: Cotterill, Redknapp, Karanka. When they start doing that, even Bowyer's had started having a go, and it was shortly after that that he was on his bike. Is there a level of, like, this early on in his tenure? Is there a level of just arrogance there that he is so confident in his relationship with Gary Cook and his agent's relationship with Gary Cook? I will always come back to that. That actually he feels quite safe in his role, that he knows he is probably going to outlast a lot of these players. Or he thinks he's going to outlast, because that's why, if this carries on until March, they can't, basically, because it'll be in the shit. Is that even worth thinking about? Or is it just, as you say, it's just an ill thought out comment. He's just been a bit frustrated, and
I think it's that. I hope it's that. I can't imagine that side of, oh, I'm protected. I can't imagine that type of, I suppose he's protected on a 3-year contract, and if they sack him, then he still gets that contract paid up anyway. So maybe to an extent there is that level of arrogance. But I don't think, reading the comments, it felt like frustration. The way that he mentioned how the players perform in training, that to me, it was like, fucking hell. It's like, lads, we do it here. Why can't you do it? It wasn't just how it was headlined. And yes, he said it, but it wasn't, the headline wasn't the way that he spoke it. I just think it made a good headline. Like, I honestly think it was just illy thought out and frustration.
I mean, he's probably gone into training on Monday morning with them and just said, like, yeah, you would have seen the comments. And hopefully he's kind of explained himself behind closed doors. And, you know, when he does his press conference for the Coventry, has that happened, by the way, the press conference, or is that going to be like tomorrow
not,
or something?
Not that I've seen.
I don't know, because obviously it's Friday, isn't it? And I don't know if it'd be a day early.
Yeah.
Maybe he's gone and said to them, like, this is what I meant by it, don't take it to heart, et cetera, et cetera. But it seemed to be almost aimed at the, it felt like it was almost aimed at the back four or the defence and the goalkeeper, because I think the conversation kind of stemmed from playing out from the back, and actually he said he didn't ask them to do that this week. They were supposed to just, they were uncomfortable to just move the ball forward, which again is like, you keep
changing things,
you're just going to, if you've been told pass it around, 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 then it's like, if in doubt, put it out, get rid, whatever. I'm sure there's an element of, you know, just being, he wants players to be more brave on the ball, and that's fine. I think he actually said he, when Jordan James came on, he made a difference, and he basically just said he wants more players to be like him and be eager and keen. But at the same time, he also mentioned Duke, which I'm still, maybe it's from a leader attitude point of view. But when he comes on, and I love Duke, we love Duke. We spoke about this when he scored the winner, the penalty against Leeds, and we spoke about him after the Bristol City game when he scored. The most electrifying forehead
in sports entertainment. Yep.
But he does not work in this. No, nobody works in this system at the moment, but he works even less than... I don't see the point. No. I'm struggling.
He doesn't work less. He fits less.
He fits less, sorry, yeah. I don't mean he works.
No, I knew you didn't mean that. Yeah. But just so that it wasn't taken that way, his work rate is never in doubt.
No, it's never in doubt. But and Rooney kind of said that he sort of intimated that anyway. But he doesn't offer anything. And I'm kind of still struggling with that. Again, I've said to you, and I think we said on the podcast previously, that I'd rather see Hogan come on, to be honest. Yeah. And, you know, he just seems to be a forgotten man at the moment and very rarely getting a look in it. You know, obviously not doing it in training. We know he's a little bit of a, keeps himself to himself as terms of a character. But I am just like, he wants players to be brave. I'm just at a loss, really, now. What are we 8 games in? He's going to get this window, isn't he? So my belief is there isn't a lot of money to play with.
No, I don't think there is. I think it's very minimal changes that are going to be made.
How what can you, I mean, you could say we probably need another centre midfielder, even though we're quite well stocked in there, but he's obviously not fancying many of them at the moment. Probably need another forward. And I've seen so many people looking for, asking for, crying out for a forward, but the problems start much further back. And I know this has to be an, it should be an organic evolution, but it feels like it's, we've passed that and it's kind of the revolution at the moment. A forward would be the last thing on my mind at this point in time. I think you do want a centre midfielder. You need someone that's going to be able to have the energy, because that is a prerequisite in the Championship anyway. It's very, very comfortable on the ball. We probably need another centre-back to play alongside. I'm still going to say Sanderson, because Ivu seems to have... I don't know what's happened there.
A few people have said send him back, haven't they?
Yeah, well, yeah, I've seen a few people say that as well. And then Ruddy, or Rudderless, I don't know. He's... I mean, it's not his fault, but he is not only very, very uncomfortable with the ball at his feet, but I now think he's having to think about doing all this other stuff that is actually his lapses in concentration for basic goalkeeping errors. Horrific.
Mm.
So we probably need to consider a goalkeeper. Now, that's four players, and I don't think the money's there for four players. You could maybe potentially look at loans. I'm sure Rooney has his own ideas around bringing other players in. It seems like a lot of work to do just to get us back to a point of satisfactory, mediocre football.
Mid-table.
To keep us away from the relegation zone, because that is the only way we're heading right now.
Okay, gents, moving on to Cov on Friday. What do we think?
Before we go to Coventry, I failed to mention something earlier on. Whilst Chris was away in Turkey being very drunk, he proposed to his other half. So just wanted to say congratulations to Chris.
Because she did say yes.
Did she definitely say yes? Yeah.
Yeah, she did say
yes. The pictures suggested that she probably did.
So. Talk us through how you did it.
He'd
had five passion fruit daiquiris.
Don't tell me you got the receptionist to do it in Turkish.
So what I did was I got the Zamboni and I rolled up to her like a G. I didn't. I wasn't even going to mention it. So, thanks.
If I have now, so it's too late.
You have now.
But congratulations.
Thanks. I asked her. She said yes. There you go. That's what I'll
set a date for a wedding yet?
Yeah.
When is it?
The 13th of June, 2039. I don't know. We haven't
read it, but probably before mine, and I've been engaged for over three years.
Yeah. So how confident were you here, Chris? Did you do this towards the start of the holiday or further towards the end of the holiday?
I did it before
cocktails. He was supremely confident.
I did it before we'd recorded the last podcast, actually.
Oh.
But it wasn't. We hadn't told people by then, so. Didn't mention anything.
Well, congrats, big news.
Thank you.
Nice to see some good news on my for my friends.
Thank you very much.
What I was going to say then. Anyway, talking
from
about good news, let's ruin it by talking about Birmingham City away at Coventry and talk about bad
news. There is good news about the Cov game. If you look at the form in the last one game, we are in better form than Coventry are.
So, yeah, they lost their last game and we drew second in the table, Ipswich.
Yeah. I mean, before that, it gets a bit worse. So maybe don't scroll back past there. because they'd won a couple, drawn, and then had lost. They hadn't been great this season. And
No, probably, a few Coventry fans have been quite disappointed with the way that things are turning out for them. The wheels really seem to have come off, and they've spent a bit of money too. Obviously, they've made a bit of money from selling Jokeres and the chap that went to Sheffield United, whose name escapes me. Gustav Hamer.
Yeah,
made a bit of money from those pair, and they but they've spent, obviously spent it on people like Ellis Sims, etc. So yeah, it's the last few games we played against Coventry have just been so drab, and we've just looked, they've not been great games of football. I'm not really sure what to expect from this one, other than probably exactly the same. But
we're so hit and miss at the moment as well.
Miss. Where's it? Tell me where the hits are, Chris.
Okay, so Blackburn, there was a good performance in their first half.
There was a 40-minute display of acceptable football.
Rotherham, there was a 5-minute performance.
5 minutes, yeah.
Okay. Sheffield
Chris
Wednesday.
Chris reeling off all the hits here from this 8-game run.
Sheffield Wednesday, we finished strongly-ish.
I thought you were just going to say Sheffield Wednesday, we finished.
Yeah, we finished. We finished the game, thank God. 3 points.
Okay, so there's the hits. Lots of misses. You just, like, in terms of performance, are we going to see a strong performance? They turn up, they look organised, know what they're doing, a la Blackburn first 45 minutes, or is it going to be a lethargic, confused performance like Rotherham?
Leaning towards the latter.
I hope not, but it's like you say, it's not looking good at the moment. It's not great.
I mean, it looks like Laird's not going to be fit, won't be available. Don't know how long he's out for. So you assume it makes sense for Cody Dramay to come straight back in there. Then you've... Does the back four pick itself? Because there's a lot of people getting on Sanderson's case, which... let's not forget as well, Sanderson has actually moved to left-sided centre-back here as well.
Yeah, I suppose as well, the long Sanderson partnership that was working so well, that was broken up by Rooney originally, and now Long's unavailable through injury. Yeah, so I mean, there's Mark Roberts that he could potentially, but I don't think anyone wants to see that.
Things might be getting that desperate. I don't know.
Are they really? Surely not. I don't know what that noise was, but surely not.
It's a terrifying thought. I mean, I completely understand why he'd want Ivor and Sanderson playing as a centre back pairing, because in theory they should be comfortable on the ball, and I think they are both comfortable on the ball, but for some reason this isn't working. And I think one of my issues, I said when we signed Ivor, was they are kind of almost quite similar, to the point that I'm not sure how comfortable I would be pairing them together. It's happened now. Don't think it's working.
The other one's Bielik.
Yeah, so that's where I was kind of going next, was do you consider moving him back to into centre back alongside Sanderson? He's obviously, as we've already spoken about, he doesn't look that comfortable in midfield at the moment. We know Bielik can play centre back. We've seen him play centre back, and he's played centre back for Arsenal and Derby, as well as centre midfield. So,
and you said last week under Rooney as well, wasn't he?
it's got to be an option before the window reopens, I think. So ideally you'd want Long to come back. I know he's not as comfortable on the ball, but we certainly looked more solid when he was in the team. At the moment, I'd like to see just some... I'm all for Brentford brave football, but we need to see some solidity at the back and a little bit of cohesion and just make us a little bit more difficult to score against, to attack. So I think a change needs to happen.
Kept a clean sheet against Rotherham. Granted, we shouldn't have done.
Yeah, I mean, through terrible, terrible finishing and maybe a possible Sanderson handball. But, you know, which I'm surprised not anything more was made about that, because it looked like a handball at the time. But I'm not dropping Sanderson. If I had to drop one of the two, I'm not dropping Sanderson in. I'm not even his biggest fan, but I'm not seeing what Ivy offers at the moment. Again, swap Bielik and Ivy around. Let's see what Ivy looks like in midfield, because actually, like, when he first signed, I thought that might be where he'd end up playing. I thought that was the only place he was probably going to get in, unless there was injuries. Obviously, then at that point, we had a different manager. Rooney's come in and wanted to change it. Fair enough. But it's not working.
Or does moving Bielik back actually open the door for James to actually, you know, get more of a starting position?
I think that's the logical step.
That's why that makes the most sense, because I think you need to continue Bakuna in there, because I know he's very, very frustrating, but he's also one of the only people that wants to carry the ball forward. He will be, let's say, he has got those balls that Rooney's looking for. Not one of those red ones that I keep seeing on fucking Instagram that he's punching. I ain't fucking buying one of those. I don't care how many times he appears on my...
he's not very good at that either.
No, he's not. Michael Owen looks much better on when he does it. I'll tell you that much for you. So, and Michael Owen's even more annoying. But yeah, I mean, back onto like the subjects, like Bakuna, I think needs to... I know fans get annoyed at him, but he is a sort of player that Rooney probably likes, because he is willing to try something, and even though it doesn't always come off, which, you know, you can hear the moans and the groans.
So what we're going to do is we're going to do a separate episode, which is an open house special, and we will come on to that more, the creative freedom and stuff that you're talking about. But the only point that I'm going to make on it now, and I'll reiterate it again, I'm all for creative freedom, but there's a time and a place for it. And 40 yards out when you're 1-0 down, when you've got two men in front of you and you scuff a shot at them, that's not the time and a place for it.
I mean, that is very annoying, and he does that a lot. But actually, I've noticed a lot of our players have started doing that recently, and I don't know if that's under instruction. I think it is by design, because I know I'd read somewhere before about Rooney wanting his players to take shots at goal. Not everyone can strike a ball like Wayne Rooney, Wayne.
No. I mean, we know how many probably punch a ball better. But...
I do get that. And I feel like we're almost like we're talking about this Coventry game, and we're almost circling back round to those previous games. But
that's all that we've got at the moment.
It's not really a surprise, is it?
No.
Okay, so do you want to come on to predictions then for the game?
I mean, Coventry have still got goals in them, I think. But I also think they're susceptible to goal as well, so Friday night, it just feels like a game will just go and get pumped live on TV. But I'm gonna be confident. I'm gonna go for a 1-1 draw. I'd say confident. I just can't. I hope there are green shoots here because I'm struggling.
Parachutes. I'm going to go 2-1 Blues. I don't know whether I believe in it, but I want to be positive. And it's more that I want to go into the game thinking that we've got it, that we've got a chance, rather than going into it thinking, oh, I'm going to fucking lose again. I want to get out of that mindset.
You're not, we're not, what do you change? Right, so we've already spoke about the defence. What do you change up front? Because I don't think Burke deserves a place in the team anymore. I'm not sure.
It's going to be Burke or Duke. There's signs there that Hogan isn't getting a look in, so I can't see that that's going to change. I think it's probably going to be Burke.
I'm not seeing a lot from Miyoshi last few games either. I'm not really seeing anything there, but you know, we've still got a few injuries, haven't we, as well? Robertson, Anderson. So there's not a lot really to switch around unless you start looking at Ramel Donovan. Injuries, yeah. It's, yeah, I don't know. I can't imagine there's going to be wholesale changes. Rame for Laird, and then James. He's pretty much committed to starting James. He said he will start against Coventry on Friday. He said that.
He deserves it as well. I mean,
he does.
I spoke about him months ago on the podcast and last season, I think, and said I sort of don't know what he, as a midfielder, he's not defined in any of the roles. Now he seems to be finding his position and settling into that role, and he's starting to really grow as a footballer. And he is looking better, and I think that time with Wales and maybe now there's no pressure on him, because everyone's playing a bit shit, so it's his opportunity to come in and actually, do you know what, look at, I'm all right, and he's stepping up. So
yeah, so he's got to start, and let's hope he does make a difference. And he is starting to step up, and it's a shame that it's like a 19-year-old kid that's, you know, the person to step up and grow some balls, apparently. So,
well, I mean, we have had a 16-year-old recently and a 17-year-old recently that we've been putting it on. So we're used to it. They're used to it. They've got to expect it when they're coming through the academy here, haven't they? Anyway, so Vegan.
What's your prediction?
I'm going to try and be optimistic as well and go for an underwhelming 1-0 win. Dembele.
So a 1-0 was in my mind, in my thinking, because it was, if we concede, are we just going to fold completely? And that can happen at any point, as Ipswich showed, two goal lead.
Yeah.
And it can just buckle. Hopefully not. So I'm gonna stick with my 2-1.
I'm 1-1, and we score first, and probably start to capitulate towards the end and concede. So there we go.
All right. So as we mentioned, we will be back. Not even like next week or anything. We'll be back after this episode with another episode focusing on the open house thing. So see you in a minute. Keep right on.
Keep right on.
Keep right on.